Fly ball to the corner. It goes into deep right field. Ohtani, he did it!
Swinging a high fly ball to right. It is out of here! Yastrzemski does it again, and the Giants lead 4-0.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAM, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
The exciting news yesterday, breaking around this time, that baseball is back. Now, I will be honest with you, I expected a little bit more of a free agent frenzy. I thought last night was going to be just epically wild in Major League Baseball because free agency officially started at 7 o'clock Eastern time last night. Still moving a little slow, so perhaps my theory of teams negotiating under the table or behind closed doors during the lockout, perhaps that was wrong, because things are moving a little bit slow. Still, with that being said, there is a lot to dissect, a lot to digest, and opening day is not too far off. Spring training camps actually open today on a voluntary basis. The mandatory date will be on Monday, spring training, March 17th, and we are off and rolling opening day, April 7th. Joining us right now to talk Major League Baseball, including rule changes, we have a great friend of mine, great friend of the program, Steve Bordstein. Steve, great to get you back on, especially now that we have baseball to talk about. It seemed like maybe this day wouldn't come, at least in 2022, or at least the spring of 2022. I know it was a big question mark.
I was worried last week when the last set of negotiations seemed to break off. I was worried that we were talking May. I was worried that we were starting to talk about, you know, the first week in May, something like that. And then, you know, and then last night, like you said, the storm clouds broke and things are okay now, and the world is a little happier place. Yeah, you're paying a little bit more for a gallon of gasoline. Maybe that means one less trip to Starbucks this week. But Major League Baseball's back, so it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, well, I don't even know what to say about that. Yeah, look, I'm a glass half full guy at the moment. I've been a glass half full guy since Super Bowl 56. So yes, you are correct. We got baseball back. Let's talk about some of the differences, because Steve, I had mentioned this on the show yesterday, and you mentioned it to me during the commercial break. Not a lot changed during these negotiations. In fact, a lot of things have been tabled, which I guess is a positive when you look at it from the perspective of not a ton of changes in the CBA. However, both sides understood that a deal had to be made. Okay, because in baseball, 162 games is sacred. We have to have 162 because the history of the game is so important. More so in this league than any other leagues, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we have a 17-game season in football now. Yes, it changed things statistically. Nobody really talked about it. In the NBA, we've seen 50- and 60-game seasons. But it seems like when baseball doesn't play 162, it's so much different than the other sports. That was key here. Let's get a 162-game season.
Yeah, and as far as the numbers are concerned, the current system that now is in place doesn't look all that much different from the old system as far as the money is concerned. But you can already see the storm clouds that are going to be coming 5 years from now when they have to go through this all over again. Once again, the middle class players will take the biggest hit from the practice of tanking, the middle class teams, because teams are going to pocket money if they're already starting to fold up in the middle of July and early part of August. Little was done to deter from that. You do have the expanded playoffs now with two extra teams, and maybe that'll keep some mid-level team from, you know, absolutely just selling out for the trade deadline. But it doesn't really. It's not going to change it all that much. Teams that are tanking know they're tanking, and they're going to start making deals to, you know, to shed money. So I don't think there's all that much changed here. What has changed and what will change down the road will be the elimination of the shift. And I know you and I have very similar opinions on the elimination of the shift, the bigger base, which I don't necessarily have a problem with. Rule changes happen in sports. They have happened throughout the years. We've seen it in the National Football League. The tuck rule was changed. How we process what a catch and what isn't a catch. Hockey had the elimination of excessive padding by goalies. And guess what? All of these changes were met with similar resistance as far as the tradition aspect of it. And guess what? still watch the sports. You're still a fan of those particular sports. You have to adjust to rule changes. They're not the end of the world, and the people who complain about it the most are the ones who are generally just trying to look for attention so they can shout from the highest rooftop. But generally speaking, I'm not that against most of the rule changes. The designated hitter rule, we went through this, you know, when I was a kid, before Jordan Buscarini was ever a thought. We went through this in 1973 in the American League, and everyone thought the world was coming to an end. Well, guess what? Offensive numbers went up in Major League Baseball, especially in the American League, and that didn't hurt Major League Baseball at the time, which at that time was going through what it's going through now. It's not the most popular sport anymore. It's not America's pastime to some people. Most people like basketball. A lot of people like football. Why? Because the offenses became a bigger deal. If that's going to be the thing that's going to bring new fans into the game, I'm okay with it. I understand the tradition. I understand the difference between the National League and the American League. I'm okay with an extra run or two being scored. Am I gonna lie awake at night and cry about it? No. I'm okay with the idea that, you know, maybe a player, you know, at the tail end of his career sticks around for another year or two and becomes a designated hitter in the National League. It's not the end of the world to me. I am upset about what will inevitably be the elimination of the shift. If you mean to tell me that putting six guys on the left side of the infield or the right side of the infield means that as a batter, my game is completely shot to hell. No, it means you're lazy and you're not going to lay down a bunt. And that bothers me. I am bothered by the elimination of the shift because I thought the shift was an interesting little nugget that got thrown into the game a little bit. So the elimination of that, not this season, but in 2023, I'm probably going to be more mortified by that than I'm going to be by the addition of the National League designated hitter rule.
Yeah, I'm always against a rule change that strips evolution of strategery. That's where I kind of draw the line, Steve, when in any sport. It doesn't have to be baseball, basketball, football, golf. I don't care what sport we're talking about. NASCAR. Anytime you strip a rule that halts strategery, advanced skill sets, I have a problem with it. And that's what we get with the shift. And I've made that abundantly clear here on the show. That's exactly what it does. I think it simplifies the game. And ultimately, I'm not okay with that. Now, I will tell you, in regards to what you said about the designated hitter, I think one of the aspects that is getting widely overlooked here, this is what the DH does. I personally am not a fan of it, but again, I'm being a glass half full kind of guy here, okay? So right now, we're in the middle of free agency. What this does is even the playing field on both sides from the American League and the National League. We no longer live in two different worlds. Okay, so a guy take Albert Pujols, for instance. Albert Pujols was better suited to sign a 10-year buku dollar deal with the Anaheim Angels when he left the St. Louis Cardinals than he was to sign a buku 10-year deal in the National League based on the fact that he could be a designated hitter. There was an advantage, a clear, distinct advantage for players to go to the American League when they knew they had one big contract left in them. Because they knew there's a viable option. When you get older, the bat is probably the last thing to go, right? And so now, with eliminating the designated hitter, the one true positive I see, it's fair game when it comes to negotiating big deals for players that are entering their 30s that have value right now, but may not have backside value.
You mentioned players in their 30s. If you want to go back in history, in the mid to late 70s through the early mid 80s, guys whose careers were extended because of the designated hitter rule, and at that time only in the American League, Reggie Jackson. Think about his career in the late 70s with the Yankees when they won the World Series, when they beat the Dodgers in the World Series. His career was extended because of the designated hitter rule in the mid-70s. Carl Yastrzemski's career was elongated because of the development of the designated hitter rule. Paul Molitor, his career was extended because of the designated hitter rule. Now, I'm not saying it's a perfect system because clearly the National League didn't think it was. So I just think that if we're arguing the tradition of it, I would argue that some of the great memories that I have as a kid, well, maybe not me because the Yankees beat the Dodgers, but some of the great memories that Yankees fans might have wouldn't have happened had it not been for the creation of the designated hitter rule. Some of the great memories of the Red Sox fans in the late 70s might not have happened with not the creation of the designated hitter rule. So I think there's room for discussion. There's room for debate on it, but I'm okay with a few guys getting a couple of extra whacks late in their careers if it elongates a career or two. Even to Albert Pujols, like if he's going to stick around for another year or two because of the designated hitter rule, whether it be in a Dodger uniform or a Dodger in someone else's uniform, I'm okay with it. I'm not going to scream about it. I'm not going to get all petrified about it. The shift changed to me, and you brought it up. If we're saying that batters can't handle it. Oh, my God. Well, tell me that, you know, batters can't figure out how to lay down a bunt. Batters can't figure out how to pull a ball instead of, you know, going up the middle. I mean, come on. I mean, I think we overreact to that one as far as, you know, the decision to eliminate the shift change. That one bothers me. The designated hitter doesn't bother me a bit. And I would also be okay with the fact that it might mean that a pitcher stays on the mound an extra inning or longer in a game. If the guy's going okay, but 2-1 ball game, maybe you have to leave the pitcher in. You know, maybe you have to leave the pitcher in for another inning because now you don't have to worry about that turn at bat. So I think it has benefits in both sides. I think it's uncomfortable. And fans, for the most part, you know this, diehard fans are uncomfortable with change of any kind. We don't like change. But sometimes change is uncomfortable, and sometimes you got to get comfortable learning to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, I become my dad more and more each day when it comes to change. My dad hates change. He despises change.
Yep.
And for the longest time, I used to ride my dad about that. Well, every time a proposed rule change comes out in Major League Baseball, I realize I become a little bit more like my father. Good or bad, I don't know, however you want to take that. But that's how I know I'm getting old, Steve.
And can we all just agree, finally, that as far as the collective bargaining agreement is concerned, can we all just agree that as far as, you know, what's an appropriate amount of money to pay someone, can we all just finally agree that neither Jordan Buscarini, nor Steve Bortstein, nor the majority of your listening audience are financial experts? We don't know a thing about what it's like to negotiate the contract of someone making $250 to $400 million. I don't know the first thing about that. I don't know what that entails. I don't know what that looks like. I've never been in a room where a $400 million contract was agreed or disagreed upon. And until that day happens for the majority of your listening audience or you and I talking on the phone, you and I have no business talking about what a player is actually worth or not worth. Can we agree on that?
Well, I will say this. The reason why I think it's a touchy subject for fans is because any time that we have a lockout, and we're talking about the CBA, okay, and you have someone like Max Scherzer, who will make more than the entire payroll of the Pittsburgh Pirates, yet you go to a Pirates game and you pay $15 for a beer and $8 for a hot dog, there's a problem when millionaires fighting with billionaires are missing actual time. Right, I think that's the issue. When it comes down to the dollar amounts that these guys are making, like I've said this a million times. You and I have had this conversation a million times, Steve. At the end of the day, it's not our money. Spend away. I don't care what teams pay players. And the idea of buying championships does not exist in professional sports because, hello, it's professional sports. The idea is to buy the best team money can buy. That's the idea behind the whole thing. So I think there's two sides of the argument, but I think they're in two different arenas. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes some sense. And the market allows what the market will bear.
That's right.
So if you're that bothered by the fact that Max Scherzer is going to make more money than the entire roster of the Pittsburgh Pirates, then there's two ways to look at that. A, the Pittsburgh Pirates are a bunch of abysmal businessmen, or Max Scherzer is paid an inordinately large amount of money. That's it. It's not one group's fault or another, but if you're a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates and you're upset that Max Scherzer makes more money than your entire team, then you as a fan either need to invest more into that team so that they have the available resources to get more money. So buy a pair of season tickets sometime instead of sitting home and watching the games on TV or listening to the games on radio. buy an extra jersey for your kid next year. Or if you're a fan of Max, or if you're not a fan of Max Scherzer, you don't want to see him make $400 bazillion, stop buying Max Scherzer gear. Stop buying gear for the team he's playing on. You know, we want the power as fans. We want to have a say, but we're not willing to do the things that actually give us a say in those discussions. And I think that's a fascinating element of it.
Yeah, for me personally, and I have ripped the Colorado Rocky organization and the way this family, the Mumfords, have ran this organization for a very long time. Okay, at the end of the day, the biggest issue is some wealthy owners view teams as trophies for the wealthy. And that's where fan displeasure comes in. At least I believe.
What did you think of the, I don't know if you saw the tweet, Jeff Passan of ESPN, he sent a tweet out the other day. It was before the lockout formally ended. And what he said was, if you replaced the current rosters of all 30 Major League Baseball teams and replaced them with the next 1,200 best players, the product of the game would suffer. But if you eliminated the 30 owners of the Major League teams and replaced them with the next 30 richest men and made them Major League Baseball team owners, the game wouldn't suffer at all. Do you agree with that?
I do, because, again, I can take it one step further. If you replaced the 30 current owners and you replaced them with the 30 best businessmen in this country, the game would improve drastically. I take that one step further. Not just the next 30 most wealthy, but the 30 best businessmen in this country. Because at the end of the day, it is a business. Okay, and I'll point to the NFL. Let me point to Stan Kroenke right now. Stan Kroenke is a businessman. Stan Kroenke has made business decisions for what was a dreadfully pitiful poverty franchise in the Rams when they were in St. Louis. They were at the bottom. This man has made business decisions, and guess what? They are now hosting Lombardi. That's a businessman. Okay. Shad Khan, again, I'm making a reference here to the NFL. He's a wealthy man that uses the Jacksonville Jaguars as a trophy for the wealthy. That organization is in shambles, and it will be in shambles for years to come. So if you replace the 30 best owners with the 30 best businessmen, oh, yeah, the game will improve drastically in Major League Baseball. I have no doubt in my mind.
That's a very good point. And I think the comparison, you know, with the Kroenke family is especially valid now, because what are we seeing in the NFL now? Oh, by the way, here's Russell Wilson. Here's a quarterback who has had a great story and sort of a dull story in the last few years, and suddenly here's the aging quarterback going to a new franchise that's willing to spend a lot of money that we didn't think was going to spend a lot of money. It certainly didn't look like the Broncos were going to spend a lot because they're going through an ownership change. But you know what? Whoever's going to be owning this team, they're giving themselves a pretty amazing story. So, again, not to dwell on the NFL, but you know, we're seeing that story becoming the pot stirring right now in that, and I think we're going to see that in Major League Baseball. I think we're going to see, you know, with the number of the free agency, and again, that's getting off to a bit of a slow start, but I think that'll change in the next 24 to 48 hours. But I think we're going to be seeing a lot of that in the coming years to come as well.
Steve Bordstein, again, our guest. Steve, I love these conversations. It's always great to get you on. Now that we have baseball back, we got to make sure it's done a little bit more frequently. I know you are a very busy man right now. In fact, you were doing right now what I was doing just a week and a half ago with basketball coverage in your local area. As always, let the listeners know where they can find more of Steve Bordstein.
You can follow me on Twitter at DTS Bordstein. That is for Daily Times Sportsstein, Steve Bordstein. Daily Times Sports. You can follow, you can check this out. You can check out my work on the website at daily-times.com. I am doing what Jordan was doing last week and covering the state high school basketball tournaments. We got a couple of local teams that are competing for championships tonight. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're down here at the University Arena in Albuquerque for that. It's a lot of fun this week, but it's a lot of work as well, as you well know. So going to be a fun night, and certainly it's a good time right now. But you can continue to follow me on Twitter at DTS Bordstein, or check out our website at daily-times.com.
Always a pleasure to get you on, Steve. Enjoy the weekend. Let's catch up again next week.
Absolutely, my friend. Thank you.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.